Time now for Heart to Heart, brought to you by Zunich Advisory Services. Here's Jackie LeBeau.
Good morning, everybody. It is bright and sunny and brisk. I love that weather. Makes my dogs frisky, and it just wakes you up and gets you going. But I did hear that weather report, and I noticed that they're calling for a little bit of rain on Saturday morning, and I'm disappointed to hear that. Maybe that won't happen, but I'm teaching a class Saturday morning from 9 to 1, Opening Your Intuition, and it is such a wonderful class, and we have such a good time. And I still have room in that class, so if anybody is interested in finding out how you can tap into your own intuition and use it to help you through your life and your day more easily, give me a call. The number is 717-968-5289, and I can fit you into that class, okay? So that's coming up Saturday. But this morning, I am so pleased to have a delightful guest with us. She's just a beautiful, very talented person, and I know you're going to love hearing her story. Kay Fahlstrom is a medium and a certified spiritual advisor through world-renowned medium Lisa Williams International School of Spiritual Development, just like me. In fact, that's where Kay and I met. So we have a little school history there behind us. And Kay has been on numerous radio shows, and she gives readings from loved ones and friends in spirit to her clients worldwide and locally in the San Francisco Bay Area in California. Kay survived a near-death experience that gave her these intuitive gifts. And we're going to talk about that this morning because that is fascinating. And you can read about Kay's fascinating journey and learn more about how you can develop your own helpful intuition, just like I'm going to do on Saturday. So remember, that's coming up Saturday. And work with your spirit guides to manifest more of what you want. In her new book, which is now out, and it's wonderful. I have a copy, and I just love it. It's titled Reborn a Medium, and it's available on Amazon.com. So I encourage you to look for that and take a look at that, because she's got all kinds of great information in there, as well as her own personal story of her near-death experience. So let's welcome Kay.
Hello. Thanks for having me. Good morning, everyone.
Hey, Kay. I'm loving this, and I just love your book. So, you know, this is such a treat for us because, you know, you hear about people who have had these types of experiences.
Uh-huh.
But this morning, we get to talk to you about what it was really like.
Yep. It's really something, because you don't think about this kind of thing, but, you know, I thought I had the flu one night, and then it just kind of happened, and what an experience, a life changer for sure.
Yeah, and when near death, I mean, medically, that truly means you were dead and came back, right?
That's absolutely right. So I was completely out of my body, and was one of the lucky ones that I feel like I was sent back, because I had some things to do here, and I was pretty young at the time. I was only 22 years old. So I feel like they were like, okay, we're going to get you back in there. So
yeah, now tell everybody exactly what went on and how you actually did die.
Okay. Well, I tell you, I was just zooming along my first job after college, my first apartment. I was living in Kalamazoo, Michigan, and I was working at a TV station, and it was getting to be mid to late November, and, you know, just as it's happening now, the chill started to come on, the weather started to change, it started to really get cold out. So I'm in this new apartment, and just for a few months after moving from Madison, Wisconsin, and, you crank up the heater, and you just keep going. Was working at the TV station, and I had really a lot of flu-like symptoms one week, and they seemed to be getting worse. And so I was going to go visit a friend back in Madison, about 5 hours away from Kalamazoo, around Chicago, and I decided, you know, I better not go. I've got these ever-worsening headaches. I'm starting to feel sicker and sicker. I better not go. Well, that was the exact wrong thing to do. But I went home to try to get some rest and get over my flu-like symptoms. So it's freezing cold out. I cranked the heater, and I thought I'd get some sleep to try to get over whatever was happening with me. Well, Little did I know I had an intruder in my apartment. There was a colorless, odorless gas wafting through the apartment that you can't smell it or see it or taste it or anything. It was carbon monoxide.
Oh, and it was coming from your heating unit.
That's right. And so they must have vented the heating unit improperly, and maybe it was a new heater put in that summer before I moved in. I don't know. And nevertheless, I was getting worse and worse. And so you don't know what's happening. I didn't know. There wasn't as much public knowledge about carbon monoxide. There weren't carbon monoxide detectors then. And it was so long ago, Jackie, there wasn't even the internet. So I couldn't just look up my symptoms. I just went to sleep, and I didn't even think about getting medical help or anything because I just thought I had the flu.
Right.
So laying in that little bed in this little apartment in Michigan, you basically get so full of carbon monoxide that your body shuts down your limbs, and your limbs can hardly move because you're exhausted. And it's trying to maintain your heart and brain function. And then after a while, I couldn't even maintain that. And that's when I left my body and went to the other side. So it was quite an experience.
Now, how did you get saved then, Kay? You're there by yourself.
Yeah, right. I'm there by myself and new in town, and I don't have a bunch of new friends yet. I'm pretty much just going to work and coming home. So there was really only one person in the entire town of Kalamazoo that could have saved me, and it happened to be a stranger. So I lived in this little house. There was one upstairs flat, me, and one downstairs flat, this lady who was a nurse at the hospital. Long story short, while I'm out of my body, I think she put two and two together that I was up there. Now, how could that happen? We weren't even buddies or anything. We were just friendly, but more like ships passing in the night. We didn't hang out together. We just sort of said hi to each other as we did our errands. Well, she had gotten, I learned after the fact, she had gotten her blood tested because she was complaining of excruciating headaches that week. And they said, gosh, you have carbon monoxide in your blood. And she went back home, so she must have thought it was coming from her car or something. So she knew my days off were Tuesday and Wednesday in the middle of the week because I worked the weekend newscasts. And she must have put two and two together that I wasn't walking around. She didn't hear my cat, a little gray kitty cat running around. She didn't hear anything. So she thought, oh, I wonder if Kay's up there. And it must have been her intuition. I don't know, but she pounded up those stairs, and she started to pound on the door. So meanwhile, I'm out of my body at that point. My body could no longer function with all that carbon monoxide in it. And her shouting instructions and pounding on the door to me made me want to come back into my body. And that's exactly what happened. So it went from there, but it took quite a bit of energy to get back into my body. There's a big difference in the rate of vibration between our world and the other side. I know that sounds odd, but I kind of had to push back into this like thicker, denser, heavier existence, if you will. And maybe it feels like that to make the shape of the table.
Were you able to get up then and go to the door?
That's exactly what happened. So she motivated me with her instructions. I pushed back into my body. And, you know, clearly my body had been restored enough to get to the door. So I kind of stumbled my way to the door and unlocked the door, and then she grabbed me and took me down the stairs and put me in the back seat of her car and whisked me off to the emergency room. But before we left, I said, please, please, my cat's still up there.
I was wondering about that, Kay. Did your cat survive?
Yeah, you know, I usually do a cliffhanger when people come to my book signings, but my dear little sweet cat did live, and it was miraculous because I had to go through extensive treatment in what they call hyperbaric chambers, where they force in pure oxygen to get restored. And the cat never had treatment but was okay. So, yes, the cat lived. Yay.
Yay. Yay. What was the cat's name?
Scooch.
Cooch.
Scooch.
Scooch. Well, Scooch, maybe Scooch had a way. Maybe she wasn't taking as much in, or she was in a different area. But thank God. I mean, think about that, Kay. You're the one person was a nurse.
Yeah, the one person was a nurse with a conscience, and I'm sure they all do. But she was such a sweetheart because she didn't even really know me. But she stood by that door. She must have been pounding on the door for 10 or 15 minutes, and she said, I'll have this door broken down. Kay, get up and unlock this door. Bang, bang, bang. She stayed with it, and she shouted me instructions about what to do and how to do it. And that's what made me want to come back into my body, and there she was to take me to the ER. It was perfect.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So, bless her. So, but now tell us, so as you're out of your body, What do you remember? Do you remember anything?
Well, I remember, you know, it's interesting with near-death experiences. Some people remember a vivid experience of all the kind of things we've heard about, like the white tunnel and, mm-hmm. you know, seeing relatives and being welcomed and all
sure,
those
I know.
Of
every experience is different, so I'll be curious what yours was.
Yeah, it was very, very different. So mine, actually, I feel like I had the full experience over there. And then like people, other people that have written books, Betty Eady wrote a book called Embraced by the Light, and Jan Price wrote a near-death experience book. They explain how some people's full-blown near-death experiences kind of gets wiped from your memory, possibly so we focus on what we're doing here when we come back. But that's what happened to me. I feel like I had the full experience. I know I interacted with people over there that are saying, you're too young, you have to go back. By the way, we're giving you some things to do there, like a mission, if you will. And then it can kind of get, it gets wiped from your memory. So this happened to Betty Eady. She's, you know, written that popular book, and Jan Price. And so what happens is when you come back into your body, all I remember was hearing her voice, the nurse that was screaming to me instructions, and coming back into my body. And the rest of it, I just know is like, you know, etched in me, you know, etched upon me
right.
like a compass.
Right,
but
right.
I can't remember all the details. And plus, keep in mind, I didn't have any oxygen in my brain. So maybe I didn't have enough oxygen in my brain to even process the experience, because even at the emergency room, they still were saying she's past what the human body can endure. She's at textbook death. So I was still in the ER way past what a human body can endure with carbon monoxide. So I maybe not all that haze, it also added to not being able to remember the experience. So I just really remember coming back in. I just have to be honest about it, right?
Yeah, well, and how fortunate that she was able to get you there and that you were in such a dire condition that they were still able to work with you. And do you remember any feelings? Because sometimes you can't remember things, but you can. You have a sense of a different feeling when you come back in.
Yeah, I mean, it really does change your life. There's a book written by Kenneth Ring called Lessons from the Light, What We Can Learn About Near-Death Experiences. And basically, you know, it's just such a life changer. You feel all kinds of changes, gratitude, peace. There's no more fear of death. There's often, you know, intuitive abilities emerge. Some people come back with healing abilities with their hands. But there's just a feeling of, like, peace, everything's okay. And it just, it shifts you from, you know, before when I was just a kid growing up in Wisconsin, there is always that, you know, what's it going to be like? And, you know, maybe some fear of whatever it's going to be like to pass away.
Right.
And so now I know that, you know, love never dies, life goes on. There's a sense of peace and just knowing that everything's okay. So I came back with that, and then, you know, you just feel so different after a near-death experience. It takes a while to integrate it. So good questions.
Yeah, because I can imagine that it really just changes your whole perspective
mm-hmm.
on this life, you know, and, you know, how you're living your life and, you know, what different priorities did it, you know, present for you?
Well, that's huge. I mean, you really realize that everything is about, you know, relationships, how we treat other people, connections. It's just, you know, profoundly important to try to, you know, do the best you can with relationships and stay connected to people and that kind of thing. So it just, that takes a higher priority. And, you know, it's great to succeed and have comfortable things and all those wonderful things. But to me, that's what it meant to me, is to really, to also value what we're experiencing in the moment. Because sometimes we're rushing to the next thing or saying, why aren't we there? Or why isn't this happening yet? So to really just enjoy what's happening here and now. And that's just such a wonderful thing to be able to enjoy the moment and let yourself sink into it and really connect with people. You know, we're kind of in a multitasking world now, and so now when my friends call or my sister calls or something, I just put everything else down and I just listen to them and interact with them and try to push everything else to the side.
Yeah, it's so true. It's so true, Craig. We are pulled in so many different directions.
And we are.
And this technology is fabulous, but it ends up, you know, it does. You know, we're always multitasking. We are never giving our full attention to any one thing. And that's what's most valuable to everybody, to be acknowledged and know that you're giving them your attention. So it changes things, doesn't it?
It does, but, you know, it's tempting because everything's right around us. So it's like, you know, it's tempting. It's hard to put it all aside, but sometimes I even take all those social media breaks, too. It's like, okay, 6 months, I'm just not going to do any of that.
Oh, yeah. So, I think that's a wonderful thing, and a lot of people are recommending that. A lot of very famous people are recommending that because, you know, people need that. And even if it's just for 2 weeks, I mean, when you go on vacation from all of that. You know, don't be doing that first thing in the morning and everything.
Exactly, yeah. So, you know, just simple changes, but it's all kind of outlined there in that book, Lessons from the Light by Kenneth Ring, because he chronicled with, you know, research how people are different after a near-death experience. So there's a lot of shifts of just attitude, perception, you nailed it, emotion, and then some people come back with healing abilities in two different camps, hands-on healing or intuitive abilities. So, gosh, I never aspired to any of that, but, boy, I had some unusual experiences after that near-death experience.
Yeah, well, it opens things up that you can't deny. So, all right, well, wonderful, Kay. Well, we're going to take a short break.
Okay.
And then we're going to come back, and we'll talk a little bit about a little bit more about Kay's book, Reborn, A Medium, and we're also going to talk about spirit guides.
It's time for more Heart to Heart, brought to you by Zunic Advisory Services with Jackie LeBeau.
Okay, we're back, everybody, and our guest this morning is Kay Fostrom, and Kay is a medium and a certified spiritual advisor through Lisa Williams International School of Spiritual Development. And we were talking about Kay's near-death experience and her wonderful new book called Reborn, A Medium, which is available on Amazon. And Kay, one of the things that you have in your book that I wanted to bring out this morning is you talk about spirit guides. So let's tell everybody, like, what is a spirit guide and how are they different from angels? Because we have so many helpers out there, and those are just two of them. So tell us a little bit about that.
Great. Well, I'll just start by saying if there's any skeptics listening out there, I didn't used to believe in any of this. So for years, I had to test this out. And I joke, people from Wisconsin didn't believe in spirit guides. So the function actually of a spirit guide is to protect us, assist us, and guide us through this lifetime. And people also are so familiar with, you know, angels have been popular for, you know, obviously centuries, but years, lots of books written about angels. So a spirit guide is, from what I'm told, it used to be a human being before, and an angel never has. So we've got both to help us, protect us, and help guide us through this lifetime. But the spirit guide's sort of more like coach, mentor, best friend who's watching out for you, trying to help you make decisions as you go along. And we can talk more about it, but it's really nice to know that we're never alone and we're getting all this help, right?
Well, and I know, and you might be surprised, Kay, because actually, one of the most popular questions I get when people come in for readings with me is, you know, who is my spirit guide?
Yep, me too.
Yeah, so people are aware of their spirit guides, and a lot of them, of course, are also aware that it may be people in their lifetime that they knew, like a grandparent or a parent.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Yeah, it may be, and those people, you know, hey, you know, I really love this person, you know, and so I want to be on their spirit guide team, so there's grandma who's helping you out, or someone else in your family. And then also, I've been taught that, you know, we've got a master spirit guide that's not someone we knew in this lifetime, so there may be more than one spirit guide, but everyone has at least one. So the master guide's not someone we knew, but the other guides can certainly be your relatives who love you so much. Is that what you have also learned, Jackie?
Yes, absolutely. And the other thing that I've experienced is that they can come and go. So they're not necessarily with you for your entire lifetime like your guardian angel, but they come and go based on what you need at the time.
Exactly, exactly. And I've heard that the master guide stays with you your entire lifetime, but the other guys can come and go. So I always give people an example. People are like, what do you mean by that? And it's like, well, maybe when you were, you know, getting into your marriage and starting to have children and working on this job or career, there was one spirit guide helping you with all of that. And then after, you know, say 15 years or 20 years, it's like, okay, they've got this part of their life down pat. They're all set. And so a spirit guide may change, then another spirit guide comes in to help you with something else for the next part of your life, would be one example, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I've also asked for a spirit guide when I'm starting something new. And I'll always say, you know, I could use somebody who's an expert in this area. And could you please come in and join my team?
It's a wonderful thing to do and a great suggestion for your listeners, because anyone can do that and ask for that. And I've done the same thing.
Yeah.
Even asked for, you know, healing. You know, I hurt my shoulder. Can you help me heal this? That kind of thing. So it's just wonderful to call in a guide. And, of course, I've got a guide that helps me with my readings. And I always ask for who's the best guide who can help me with this there, right?
Right. And it's interesting because I'll just have to tell people they can be all different kinds of, I'll say, people. You know, I have a spirit guide who's a Native American. Mm-hmm. I have one spirit guide who's Chinese.
Uh-huh.
I have my gatekeeper guide is a white wolf.
Wow.
So I have, you know, so be aware of that. You know, it might be grandma, because my grandma is also one of my primary spirit guides who's with me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so it could be somebody just like grandma, or it could be different. So be open to just what you seem to sense from that guide, you know, as to who they are. And some guides, you know their names, they'll give you their names. But it may be a long time until you get a name. Isn't that true, Kay? You've found that as well?
Totally, exactly. And what's most important for listeners to know is just to start to interact with them and think at them, I'd say, or you can talk to them out loud, but you can just do it by thought. You don't have to do it out loud. It doesn't matter that you know their name or not. It doesn't matter if you don't get a name. It just matters that you start interacting with them. And some people are like, well, are they male or female? It doesn't matter. And it may come to you over time. Just start working with them in the beginning and telling them your thoughts. And you know, back to the point of guides changing and things like that, and my mom's sister, who was a nun, was actually helping me with my readings early on as I was a developing psychic and medium, trying to help people. And then all of a sudden she got replaced, if you will, like maybe she wanted to have more of her own time and do other things. And then all of a sudden I had this other guide, and I said, wait, who's this male guide now? And they said, oh, he's got experience working with mediums. And I'm like, okay, wow, this is great. So thanks, Aunt, and then thanks to the new one. So they can be upgraded, if you will.
I like that, upgraded. Or just changed.
Right, either way you want to look at it.
Yeah, but I love that you know, that we can recognize that as well and know that they are there. Like you said, just talk to them, and it really doesn't matter. And the truth is, you may not know today, but maybe a month from now, all of a sudden, you'll know. You'll know what their name is, and you'll know what they are, and, you know, and you'll know a whole lot more about them as you use them more and more. And they are just so very helpful with everything.
They really are, and, you know, they can, like you said, reveal themselves to you over time. And I remember I'm interacting with my spirit guides after I decide they're real, because some things started to happen in my life where I was thinking something that I wanted, and I told no one about it, and then it would start to manifest, sometimes quickly. And then I thought, oh, my goodness, like it's almost like someone's listening to what I'm thinking.
Uh-huh.
And these requests are being answered, just like that old phrase, ask and it is given.
Yeah.
Right? And so I noticed that under a time of acute stress, I was moving a lot of items from one house to another, having to move. And in that, you know, exhaustion of packing and cleaning and everything, the spirit guide was like, okay, I'm right here. And that was one of the first times I really felt the guide.
Right. And but you've also had guides who have helped alert you to danger. So tell everybody about your experience at Lake Tahoe.
Yeah, I was up at Lake Tahoe once, taking a couple of days off, and my friend was home in the condo cooking dinner, and I wanted to go work out. Anyway, I was coming back, And there were absolutely no street lights, no lights, no porch light, no nothing. And
it was dark. Tahoe, dark.
Pitch dark. You couldn't see your hand in front of your face, even if your eyes adjusted. So I'll just tell this story quickly. I jumped out of my car. I was running back into the condo in the pitch dark, and good thing I had that walk memorized because I had to walk about 40 or 50 feet to get to the condo front door and up a couple sets of stairs. Well, I was doing that, and I'm walking through the dark, and I hear kind of like a big clang, and I think, oh, someone's taking out their garbage. But I couldn't adjust and see who it was. It was pitch black. And I heard it in my head, a warning, get back in the car. And I was like, what? You know, and then I thought, no, I'm fine. And then I kept walking in the pitch dark, and it was like the voice was male, and it was louder and more stern, get back in the car. So I'm like, uh-oh, I heard that. And so I'm like, something really must be wrong here in the pitch dark. So I scrambled my way back to the car, felt along the side of the car, tried to get the key in the lock, jumped in the car, locked the doors, turned on the car, turned on the lights, turned toward the sound, and there was an enormous black bear that I was about to walk into, and I had food in my hands, and I was about to walk right past the huge black bear in the pitch darkness. So
nothing like saying, hey, black bear, here's food. Want to come get me?
I know, and I would have, you know, gone right into it, would have come right at me at the food. And so thank goodness I was getting my guide telling me, trying to keep me safe and alive that night. And thank goodness I listened the second time because I would have walked right into this bear.
Oh, my gosh. So remember that, people. When you're getting a message, pay attention.
Yes. Yeah. We probably all have stories of when we didn't pay attention, and now we do.
Yeah. Hey, well, okay, we're running short. So I want real quickly, let's tell people real quick, what are the key points in them being able to work with their own spirit guides?
I would say real quick, identify what you want, start to talk with your spirit guides, invite them in, say, I want you to help me with this, please. Learn a little bit about the law of attraction from Wayne Dyer or Esther Hicks or the documentary movie The Secret, and then your intention is huge. So all of these things together make a powerful recipe to manifest more of what you want. Just think at your guides, start to talk with them. It's okay if you don't hear anything back in the beginning.
Yeah, absolutely, because, you know, sometimes it's going to feel like you're just talking to yourselves.
Uh-huh.
And that's okay, because they're getting it, they're hearing it, and the key is asking.
Yep, it's really important to invite them in and say, hey, I really like help with this, and then start to pay attention in your sleeping state, waking state, on what information that you get. And it's okay if you don't believe in them. You can still experiment with this. I had a funny story with a client, but we probably may not have time for that. But
well, we have about 3 minutes, so you can sneak that in.
Well, it's just fun for the people that may not believe in this. So I had a client come in, and big, you know, wonderful guy, and he was sitting there, and I could tell he didn't believe in spirit guides, but they were saying to him that he experienced seeing a fire when he was a little kid. A fire in a city, and it freaked him out, and he thought it was his fault. And so the spirit guides were saying, I know you experienced the fire as a little kid. It wasn't your fault. And this guy who didn't believe in spirit guides sat forward and said, oh, nobody knows about that. Who did you say these spirit guides are? So the spirit guides give you specific information in a reading just for you, and they really are there. Even if we don't believe in them, you can start to work with them anyway. They'll help you anyway.
Yeah, so that came through and really opened his eyes because, like you said, nobody else knew about that.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, wonderful. So now, Kay, please tell people how they can get in touch with you or find more information about you.
Okay, great. Well, I'm at www.kayfallstrom.com, and you can just email me through that website, and the phone is in the upper right-hand corner. So people can call and ask me questions about a reading or email me through the contact page or the book a session page. You're not actually booking a session. You're just emailing me a question. So you can get in touch with me and ask questions or see what readings are like. People can either hear from their spirit guide or their loved ones in spirit who've crossed over. And it's a very uplifting experience and sometimes even fun because the people on the other side still have their sense of humor.
I know. I love that you say that because it is. Sometimes it's just funny and people don't expect that when they come for a reading.
And so they feel uplifted in a lot of ways. Oh, and you can get the book Reborn a Medium on Amazon.com. So yeah. Thanks so much, Jackie. You've been great.
Well, I want to spell your name for people. So it's K-K-A-Y and Fahlstrom is F-A-H-L. STROM.com. Okay? All right. Great. So, Kay, fabulous. We love hearing about the spirit guides. We loved hearing about your near-death experience, and we are so happy that they sent you back to be with us.
Thank you so much. It's so delightful to talk with you all, and I hope everyone has a wonderful day.
All right, great. See you, Kay. Bye-bye now.
Thanks.
Okay, we're back. I hope you all enjoyed hearing from Kay and her near-death experience. I said, boy, she was lucky having a nurse live in the apartment under her who could come up and figure out and sort of help her through what to do, realizing that something was going on up there. So anyway, excuse me. Next week, my guest is Lil Morgan, and Lil is my acupuncturist. And she, it was going to be very surprising for you, she made a midlife career change from law to acupuncture. So who was once an attorney is now an acupuncturist. So anyway, she says after 20 plus years, she was tired of arguing. And that's what attorneys do, of course. And she wanted to focus her efforts on healing. She had experienced acupuncture treatment for her own back pain 15 years ago, and after 4 treatments, her pain was gone, and she felt so centered and grounded and healthy after each treatment. It was so amazing that she was intrigued, and she decided to pursue that as well. So she holds a master's degree in acupuncture from the Traditional Acupuncture Institute in Laurel, Maryland, and she now does acupuncture in the York area, and she's fabulous. She also teaches. So tune in next week if you want to hear about acupuncture. And also, Lil is just a fascinating person. She has so much experience from her years as an attorney and just a great person. Just another reminder that this Saturday, I have an Opening Your Intuition class, Tap Into Your Own Natural Psychic Abilities. So please join us. It's at the Eichelberger Professional Center from 9 to 1 in the morning. And you'll get a chance to learn how to stop doubting yourself and trusting what you're already getting, because we're all using our intuition all the time. And again, you can register by calling my office at 717-968-5289. So that's coming up this Saturday. And one of my most fun events is coming up at the end of the month, Sunday, October 26th. Cooking with Holiday Spirit. It's holiday survival tips for easy entertaining. And I'll be joined by Chef Donna Desfor of There's a Chef in My Kitchen. And many of you have seen her on Fox 43 TV. She's just delightful. And we are going to be spending an afternoon connecting to spirit as well as learning, tasting, and creating delicious foods, all with one idea in mind, and that's to get you through the holidays with ease and with less effort and a style you can call your own. So join us. This is so fun. You will have such a great time. And if you're not a cook, don't worry. No worries. Look on and socialize as you enjoy watching everything unfold. Sit through the group reading, and then we all get together to have a wonderful dinner with all the stuff we put together. So again, you can call my office to register. The number again is 717-968-5289, and that is Sunday, October 26th. But the deadline to register is this Friday, October 10th, so don't delay. If you want to get in on that great event, give me a call this week. Okay, so that's everything, and we'll be back next week with Lil, and I hope you have a wonderful week and enjoy the weather. See you then.